Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of Hebrews, a letter that the author himself describes in the last chapter as being a brief word of exhortation. Yeah, a brief word? Well, it was. It's not exactly that long, but it does have a great deal of information. So let me just remind us of what the bigger picture is. The bigger picture in Hebrews is this, that Jesus is better. Okay, Jesus is better. So what is our response to be? Our response is to believe. To believe. Even in these passages that we're dealing with right now in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, which are often viewed as some of the more difficult to interpret within the balance of Scripture, because there's mysteries here. There's things that are hard to understand. As a matter of fact, there is one very, very, very well-known preacher. He has since gone to glory. That he's known all over the world internationally. And he's known as a preacher, as an expositor, as one who went verse by verse and verse and laid out the Word of God. In 40 years of preaching, he never preached on this portion of the Scripture. You can find his stuff online. You can find his entire teachings on Hebrews. And there's a gap in Hebrews 6 where he never preached on Hebrews 6. Well, you know, I respect that in one sense. And from the point of view, if you don't know exactly what it's saying, then don't get there and make up things, okay? But then on the other side of things, why not dive in and say, hey, I don't understand all this. Hey, I don't know what's going on here. But let's just look at what's being said and pay attention to what's being said. And then as we go through the balance of our corporeal existence, we'll know what is said here, and the Lord will bring it by the power of His Spirit and His Word and the clearer and clearer focus based upon the totality of the Scripture. If you just ignore it and say, hey, this is a little too weird, I don't know what this is, I'm not going to deal with it right now, then you'll never really delve into it in that way, okay? So here's what I want to do. I want to go back to the first verse again of Hebrews chapter 6. We've covered up through the first 8 verses, and then we're going to look at least the next couple of verses, maybe the next 4, but we'll see what happens here, okay? So receive the word of the Lord, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. So it's a vivid picture that we've covered all this in previous episodes. The last episode, we looked at those last 2 verses, and he gives us a picture right here of the ground that drinks in the rain and that produces vegetation useful for those who till, useful for us. And that's a blessing. We receive a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, in other words, it's worthless and it's close to being cursed, okay, because it's of no good, it ends up being burned. I think there's a picture right here of those who receive the Word of God in the right way, wind up being a blessing, and they produce vegetation that's useful. There's others that will receive the Word of God, and their fruit is thorns and thistles. It's worthless. In other words, they did not receive it unto salvation, and they're going to be burned. Yeah, there's that picture right there. Now, verse 9 brings forth a much-needed now word of encouragement. It begins with the word, but, and then beloved. But, beloved, He's saying this, but in light of everything I've just said here in the first part of this, what we call the sixth chapter, the author is saying, hey, but hang on. Hang on, beloved. Beloved. That's a term that John uses a lot, particularly in 1 John. But beloved, he's letting them know that you are beloved. I think that's a major hint that they truly are believers. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. Wow, I think that gives us a little insight into what's been happening here. He's saying, guys, even though I'm talking this way, even though I'm talking about these kind of things that are difficult about those who have received all that and yet have fallen away, that it's impossible for them to be renewed to repentance. In other words, they've rejected the one way of repentance. If you reject that, there is no other way, and they've literally crucified to themselves, for themselves, the Son of God. They might as well have crucified him himself because they have rejected him. And he said, in this same way, I am convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. He said, I'm convinced that y'all have true salvation, the ones that are receiving this letter, the ones that he's addressing, the ones that he's exhorting. Remember the exhortation is the whole point of this thing. He said, I'm convinced of better things concerning you and things accompanying salvation, though I'm speaking in this way. He said, I'm thinking you're really saved. I know you're being tempted. I know you're undergoing trials and tribulations and troubles. I know that some of you have been tempted to go back and try to do a syncretism of past life of Judaism with the life of the believer right now. I know that you're doing this. He says, you don't need to do this. He said, I have a better feeling about y'all right here, even though I'm speaking this way. Verse 10, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Huh. So what's he saying? He's saying God is not unjust so as to forget your work. He's acknowledging they've had phenomenal work. And the work is centered around two things. The love which you have shown toward his name. His name, the name of the Lord. And that's just a marvelous thing, that whole thing of the name of the Lord and what that speaks of and what it reflects. All that God is and who he is and how you love him and the love that you've shown there. But it's not just a love that's done by word alone. It says in having ministered and in still ministering to his saints. See, it's one thing to declare that you have acknowledged. Okay, we talk about that often. The demons do that. They know that God is real, and yet they shudder, okay? He's saying that you have love, and you've shown love toward his name, and the way that they showed love toward his name is not just by verbal acquiescence to it. It's by having ministered and still ministering to the saints. He's mentioned this a little bit before, and he'll talk about it more as we go along. But there were those that had been thrown in prison for the sake of the name of the Lord. They did not ignore them. You say, well, why would they ignore them? Well, are you kidding me? If someone's thrown in prison by being associated with the name of the Lord, and then you go and bring them water and you bring them food and you are associated with them, do you not think that that would be sort of putting a red target upon yourself? Well, sure it would be. And they didn't do that. They still clung together as the body of Christ, even though one may be imprisoned by the faith. And he said, God's not unjust to forget your work. This is a work that comes about, and it's what's been spoken up here, the things accompanying salvation. See, the salvation had brought forth a true change, a true transformation, a true conforming to the likeness of Christ. Okay? And he said, God's not going to forget that. So don't be tempted to go back to the old thing. What do? You keep believing. You keep believing. We'll pick up on these verses in our next episode. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you then.